For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I don't know if you know about this, Chris. The Cavaliers are one of three NBA teams who have yet to sign a free agent this offseason.
I did know that, and I know the other two.
And they are?
Miami and Los Angeles.
That is
the
very
Lakers,
good.
That is.
Those are three teams I always talk about in the same conversation.
Yeah,
everyone's always like, the Lakers, the Heat, and then what's that other thing? The Cavs. It sure seems like, maybe this is fair, unfair, that the Cavs are going to present their offseason as re-signing Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell, and that's probably going to be it. Is that fair?
Well, the day before free agency started, Nick, I wrote something for Cleveland.com about how this offseason was going to be defined by their own. And that was the priority. It was Donovan. It was Evan Mobley. It was figure out what's going to happen with Isaac Okoro as a restricted free agent. They just don't have a bunch of resources to go out and spend when it comes to free agency. The trade assets that bring the most value back to them are the ones that they want to hold on to, that they believe in. So unless an opportunity presents itself as this offseason continues to go on, I think they're totally comfortable with what they've accomplished. And I do think that they believe this offseason has been a success because the two most important things they already accomplished. They also had to make a decision on J.B. Bickerstaff, and they moved on from him and they went to Kenny Atkinson, who they believe is going to be better for them. So I do think they feel good about what they've done, even though it's been a sleepy offseason by most standards.
I mean, I feel like it's been sleepy since they traded for Donovan.
Well, yeah, because you only get one opportunity. If you're a team in the NBA that has championship aspirations, you get one opportunity to cash in all your chips on one player, right? The Knicks did that with Bridges this offseason. The Cavs did that with Donovan Mitchell a couple of years ago. So the assets are limited now when it comes to making another blockbuster trade, unless they're willing to break up the core group, which as of right now, they're not willing to do.
So I am not break up the core four guy.
Okay.
I am only break up the core four guy if you get what I think is fair or commensurate value.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is making, because listen, we can make jokes about the Cavs being one of three teams that haven't signed a free agent.
Yeah.
But I would rather you not trade Darius Garland on the low.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Jared Allen, just for the sake of we had to make moves.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, I think Jared's value is probably pretty high right now after the Orlando series. I don't see you getting anything close to what would be fair value for Darius because this last year was just such a one thing after another. I don't want to call it a disaster because the guy, it's not like the guy scored 10 points a game, but it certainly compromised
his
value. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think below Cavs fan standards and
sure,
the organizational standards and all that.
And I think below what teams around the NBA that would be interested in him would have wanted to see from him.
Mm-hmm.
And the other variable when it comes to Darius is he's got a massive contract. So number one, you have to match those salaries. And number two, if you're a team that's going to trade for Darius, you have to determine you're not the team that gave him that contract, right? The Cavs gave him that contract. So if you're a team that wants to trade for Darius, you have to determine is the value enough to take on that contract, to give up assets and take on that contract. The other thing that comes into play when it comes to Jarrett, like, it's not a situation where the Cavs are saying, under no circumstances are we trading Jared Allen. Under no circumstances are we trading Darius Garland. But like you, they have to find an offer that they would be willing to say yes to. And this wasn't a disastrous season for them.
Mm-hmm.
They made it to the Eastern Conference semifinals. They took a game from Boston. They didn't have Donovan for the final two games of that series. They didn't have Jarrett for a majority of the playoffs. So if they were coming off an embarrassing playoff appearance like 2 years ago against the Knicks, then I think there would be more urgency to make some significant changes. But this was a successful season for them. Getting to the Eastern Conference semifinals, winning a playoff series without LeBron James for the first time in 30 years, that's not the kind of season that you overreact to. That's not the kind of result that makes you panic as an organization. You know what I mean?
No, I think that's fair. And I do think, like, I think because of the way the stretch run went, and I think because the Orlando series, there were times where they got out-efforted at points in that series. I didn't feel that same way about Boston.
Yeah.
Like, in a weird way, I came out feeling better about the fight that I saw in the Boston series than I did in the Orlando series. And I don't think most Cavs fans are going to agree with me on this. But I think because you have a new head coach, and because I think the mission is so succinct, which is build an offense that simultaneously help you get out there with Darius and Donovan, and also making sure Evan Mobley is no longer hindered by a lack of offense,
yeah,
I think it makes the regular season watchable again. Because, like, I think fans have said, all last year, if you wanted to have a nuanced conversation on this station about the Cavs, oh, yeah, it's a good stretch of basketball. Talk to me in May.
Yeah.
And the same thing, by the way, when they were bad, well, I don't like the way they're going into this, but, and then when it got to there, it was every game in the playoffs was overreacted to, which might be part and parcel with being in the playoffs. But, like, I'm going to be watching those first 10 games and say, okay, what does the offense look like?
Yeah. So this is the hard thing for me. I believe that the regular season matters to a point. And I think when it comes to the Cavs this coming regular season, there are more storylines. There are more things to follow. There are more things that can inform what you believe about the team. At the end of the day, though, I think they have reached a point in their development as an organization where final declarations don't need to get made in the regular season.
Yeah.
Those judgments should come in the playoffs, because that, to me, is what is going to determine success or failure for this team. Donovan Mitchell said it to me before the playoffs started: conference finals, finals. That's how he judges himself. And we've seen the Cavs have success in the regular season. Maybe not with Kenny Atkinson, maybe not with that offense, but we've seen this organization have success in the regular season. They've got to show that they can be more diverse, more dynamic, more creative offensively when it comes to the playoffs.
Well, those storylines, I think, like, there's a few things that there will be causes and effects for. So, for instance, with Donovan, not having him play like 40 minutes in a game against Houston in like December, like late December. But I do think that matters, because in the end, if you look at like Donovan's minutes, because Donovan played less in the second half, and there were a couple games he had to go out of because he just wasn't ready, it kind of brought his minutes back to normal. But if you look at through, even after Darius and Evan came back, it was over a minute of a career high for most minutes per game. And so I think that's something to watch for. I think how committed, because, like, I'll be honest with you, we were promised the moon, and I'm not here to bash JB again. I've done enough of that.
Yeah.
The man's fired. I think he, I wish he would have stayed out one more year, because I think Detroit's a bad job. But, hey, he got another job, so it didn't stop him from getting another job. But, like, JB came out last offseason and said, hey, yeah, we're going to build a, we're going to kind of build out an offense here, and here's the goal with these offenses. And then you got like 3 minutes into the regular season, and all of a sudden there was no offense.
Yeah.
And it never showed up. And whether that was injuries, or they were treading 500 water before the injuries or whatever, that is something that I noticed and something that I kept calling back to. I kind of don't doubt that Kenny Atkinson will do it, because this is one of the reasons he got hired.
Yeah.
But now I just want to see, how do you do it? Can you get Jarrett and Evan to consistently shoot the three ball together? And how does that impact the spacing for Darius and Donovan? And, oh, by the way, can Darius get back to the efficient three-point shooter he was last year? Because, holy hell, you get three of those dudes being that kind of three-point shooter, and you will have the kind of spacing where you won't have to, all you'll have to do is add to this, and find that perfect wing player and take time to find that player rather than using one of the other two guys to find that wing player.
I think the Darius piece of it is very, very interesting. I don't believe that he loved or his camp loved the Donovan experience, because Darius is somebody who's so used to being in control of the offense. Darius is so used to having the ball in his hands and dictating terms and stuff like that. It was an adjustment for him last year to get off the ball a little bit more, right? It was an adjustment for him to try and continue to figure out how to be effective and how to be comfortable in an environment where he was sharing the floor with Donovan. I mean, there are stylistic complications and conflicts that are going to continue to come with Darius and Donovan, because they both want the ball in their hands. They both want to run pick and roll. They're both elite at pick and roll stuff. So it's going to be up to Kenny to figure out, okay, how do I get the best out of Darius and Donovan together, right? How do I get the best out of Evan and Jarrett together? And I don't think either one is an easy answer, especially when it comes to Darius coming off the season that he had and how much of his game is predicated on being the sole driver of the offense and how comfortable he is and has been in the past when it comes to being the sole driver of the offense. Not everybody is just... Darius has the right intentions. He wants it to work with him and Donovan. He said all the right things. He likes Donovan as a person. They have a really good relationship as a person. But sometimes you're just best in a specific kind of role. And for Darius, his entire life, he has been in one particular role, and he's been asked to do one thing until Donovan came. So even if he has the right intentions, even if he wants it to work because it's beneficial to the Cavs and it leads to winning, there's no guarantee that he's going to be at his best in that kind of secondary role.
That's fair, but I think if I'm Kenny Atkinson, I'm pointing this out to Darius and Donovan, and if I'm Cavs fans, like, I think you have to take real solace in the fact this did work.
Right, like, to some level.
2 years ago, I mean, Darius had his most efficient year.
Mm-hmm.
His numbers did not drop. As a matter of fact, his advanced numbers got better 2 years ago. So I tend to look at, maybe this is me pie in the sky, Cavs homer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to look at this and say, well, the offense was super wonky early in the season. Then Darius got injured. And then it just never got back on. It felt like you could never... And oh, by the way,
he also had a death in his family.
Had a mass, yes. Absolutely. And oh, by the way, when Darius wasn't even quite back yet is when Donovan started having problems.
Yeah.
So there was no real time to think of LeBron's takeoff strip to the playoffs. There was no real time for that thing to gel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's in the back of my head. I'm like, yeah, I understand. And listen, there have been plenty undersized guards. Combos in history that have had the same problem.
Right.
But if you can just get it closer to what it looked like 2 years ago, I think that's a possibility. And I do think, like, I know JB said he felt like he did enough of this. I think if you just give them separate time on the court just to get some mojo going, especially for Darius, I do think that'd make a difference.
I mean, look, JB did that. He staggered them. He put Evan and Darius together. He put Jarrett and Donovan together. He was taking Darius out at like the 7 minute mark of the first quarter to give Donovan a little bit of freedom. And then he brought Darius back to run the second unit. He tried doing those kinds of things. And it still just didn't get Darius to the comfort level, because I think there were so many different factors in play to his season. And that's one of the reasons why, I'm kind of like you, and I'm looking at this for Darius from his perspective, because it would be more alarming if there weren't logical reasons attached to his downfall.
Yep.
But there are so many logical reasons that point to why he wasn't as good this past year, and none of those should be overlooked in this conversation, because there were real things that he was dealing with, and they weren't easy things that he was dealing with either.
Can I tell you the more concerning fit? It's the bigs.
Of course it is. And it's always been the bigs.
Well, but it's the light bulb thing with the bigs. Jarrett was dominant. Jarrett was maybe the best Jarrett we've ever seen. He was forceful. He was physical. Those first four games against Orlando, I thought he was, on average, your best player.
Yeah.
And that's not no disrespect to Donovan, who across the playoffs ended up being your best player.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second he went out, we saw it. It's not the second we went out, because Evan, I don't think, was consistently the same level in Orlando as he was against Boston. But that Boston series, I can't get that out of my head, how more confident he looked when it wasn't with Jarrett. And yet,
for the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I really respect the hell out of the teammate that is Jarrett Allen.
Yeah,
and
I know.
And the player that he's not only did you get a couple years ago when you traded for him, but the player he's become.
It's such a complicated conversation, I think, because the Cavs need Jarrett Allen. And Donovan Mitchell loves Jarrett Allen because he's an elite pick-and-roll player. He's really, really important for them offensively and defensively. They have not been the same team at either end of the floor consistently when he's been off the court. So they need the things that Jarrett brings to the table, and he's valuable, and he's an asset. But I also think he gets in the way of Evan's development. I think he gets in the way of Evan's comfort. I think if you look back to that Boston series and how Evan was effective against the Celtics, now you got to put that in perspective, right? It was Al Horford. It was Luke Kornet. There was no Kristaps Porzingis. So it was set up for Evan to be successful. They switched a lot so he could take advantage of some of those mismatches. But just how he was used, the number of shots he got, the number of touches he got, and the space that he had to operate, is all that going to be there when he's sharing the floor with Jarrett? No, it's not.
If he's not on the same spot in the court, yeah.
But they want to be in the same spots, right? Because that's where they're most comfortable. Evan wants the ball in his hands in a face-up position. Evan wants the ball in his hands coming out of the pocket. Evan wants the ball in his hands on the move. Evan wants to be hovering around the paint and near the dunker spot. Guess what? So is Jarrett Allen, because that's where Jarrett is most effective. Where they're most effective is the same spot on the floor. So how do you tell one of them, nah, go somewhere else? How do you tell Evan at this stage of his career, go sit on the perimeter and space the floor?
I would suggest doing so maybe in bubble wrap, just in case you enrage him. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's Jarrett's a little bit more filled out at this point. I became a part of a club today I had no expectation to become.
Oh, what's that?
Well, since my oldest child was born, Ness refuses to change cat litter. And she used getting pregnant with our oldest as like a, you know, that there's chemicals and the ammonia and all that. And so I was always like, no, cool. When we're no longer pregnant, she'll change the cat. No, this woman, maybe one or two times. And my oldest kid's going to be 14 in September.
Okay.
So it's been a long and frustrating 14 years. And now, like, you know, I had a cat, she had a cat. Well, my cat's been dead for like 7 years.
Okay.
So I've been changing her cat litter
box. No.
So I finally said, bleep it. When we moved to the new house, I said, I want one of those electronic ones. I want one that does like the, it's almost like a cement mixer.
Okay.
Where it kind of shakes free and then there's a bag at the bottom and then you only have to change the bag.
Okay.
Because I just got sick of the natural stuff that happens. If you with cat litter, you leave it for one day too long.
It's bad.
And it's a whole to do. But I just go buy one. I'm a little embarrassed that we spent $400 on a cat. Yeah, yep, a cat litter.
$400?
Yep. I believe that's the exact number. And I wasn't going to say that, and then I just said it.
Oh, my God.
Because, again, this is me owning and atoning for my own snootiness that is developing here.
Wow.
Well, before work today, I finally decided, all right, Because we had like an interim cat litter box, and I'm like...
An interim?
Yeah. Well, no, because this thing, we were waiting for it to be developed.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It was specifically built in some sort of very important factory. We've been waiting on this thing. I'm slight hyperbole there. But what I did not realize is when I was putting the thing together, that to get it up and running, you have to have a cat litter app.
Are you serious?
I am not joking. So... If you had told me at any point you have to have an app on your phone to monitor the cat litter and to monitor the device, I would have told Vanessa, do not buy these. I'll continue to suffer because it's just a little weird.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know the things that you can find out on this app?
I'm guessing when it needs to be changed.
Well, yes, that's the obvious one.
Okay.
It weighs your cat for you.
It weighs your cat?
It weighs your cat.
Oh, my.
You can check out the frequency.
Oh.
Of which your
of
cat...
Of the movements?
Of the movements.
Wow.
There's like 12 things on this app that I can bring up at any point.
Okay.
And so it's still connected. It's not like some cooking implements, you only get the app going if you're within range.
Okay.
No, baby.
Wow.
Right now, if I want to see if that cat has deuced in the time that I set it up to now, till I came to work.
You can pull it up and
I can
see.
Pull it up. Wow. And if he's gone in a second time, I can see how much weight he's lost today. By fact, I can do the math.
Oof. Wow. That's intense. The things they sell these days, and to people like you,
sucker. Okay, what do
you
people
the
like
sucker.
You? People like you. No.
Yes.
Do you have cats?
No.
Okay.
I don't like cats. I'm allergic to cats.
Okay.
You think this is something, Fedor? How about the time when Dustin said loaded up his Amazon account and said, Nick, within reason, like I think I don't know what the limit was. It was like $100, $150.
I could
whatever you want.
$200.
Pick it out.
Are you serious?
Yeah. You know what Nick picked?
Oh, this one's on brand.
What did you pick?
This one makes
tell him what you picked, Nick.
I picked a cleaver, like a butcher knife.
A meat cleaver.
What in the world?
Of all things, you could have anything you want on Amazon.
Because I'm not going to buy myself a $150 meat cleaver.
Why would you buy a $150 meat cleaver?
Because I like to cleave meat.
Okay, is it that much better than one that you could buy for $25?
Yes, like everything in this universe.
How many times have you used it since then?
I've actually used it at least once a month.
So it was $150 worth using 12 times a year?
Yeah, because it wasn't my money. At least. I guarantee I've used it at least 20
times.
That's
the only thing that you could come up with that you wouldn't buy for yourself?
Well, no, because I bought
somebody
a couple
gave
other...
Somebody gave you a lottery ticket of $200, and you picked a meat cleaver.
Yeah, and I also got a boning knife, and then there's like a chef's knife that's pretty... I almost chopped my finger off once with it.
I didn't know
that
you were Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah. Oh, no. Just like to do a little bit of meat cutting here and there, and... You know, I'm not quite a... I'm definitely nowhere near a butcher, but one day I'd like to learn the arts of butchery.
But you spend like one.
Yeah, no. I spend Dustin's money like that.
I am fully capable of cutting my own meat. And I have, I don't know, something that did not cost $200.
Yeah, but you and I aren't cutting the same meat. My meat that I'm cutting is different than the meat you're cutting.
What are you cutting that's so different?
Well, I'm actually
ribs?
Going... No.
Because I cut those.
Well, yeah, everybody cuts ribs. Wow, look at you.
I cut those.
Ooh, you cut brisket.
So what are you cutting?
You cut the fattiest meat in the world, brisket?
So what are you cutting that needs a meat cleaver?
Well, I actually do. Like, I'll go to the big box, or not, the surplus stores, and I will get the big thing of pork loin and make our own pork chops, because you can save a lot of money that way.
I do that too.
I will debone chickens, and so basically get like the full chicken, get two chicken breasts, two drumsticks, two the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I do that. That saves a lot of money.
You do understand that other things that do not cost $200 are capable
of accomplishing that. Now you're rounding up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no, it's the efficiency, there's no forearm necessary there.
Oh, my.
I just bring that bad boy down.
Wow.
And I just cleave it.
Wow.
I think what it is you know that my cleaver cuts my meat better than your... What kind of knives you got over there? You got a Ginsu knife?
I don't have any idea. It's some standard knife set. It works just fine.
Rookie, yeah, just fine. That's exactly what you get.
I've been living my whole life being able to cut meat.
Yeah.
Not
as well as me.
I haven't ever once thought, you know what? I wish I could do this more efficiently.
Well, that's because you're not looking for inefficiencies in your everyday life, especially when it comes to meat cutting.
You know all of those infomercials that play at like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
Those were made for you, I feel like.
Only if I have Dustin Fox's blank check to go ahead and use.
You couldn't think of anything else? That was the first thing that came to your mind?
I'd wanted a nice knife set for a very long time.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we have a knife set we got when we got married. It just doesn't do the job the same way as I know professional knives will do.
But you're not a professional cook.
And that's not professional. I didn't say I was a professional.
You said professional knives do.
Yes.
If you're not a professional cook, you don't need a professional knife.
Don't need one, but would want one.
Okay.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.